Please open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 4. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verse 1 through 11. It can be found on page 1091 in the Bibles in the pew. That's Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. After this, I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne in heaven, and someone was seated on it. The one seated there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes, with golden crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal, was also before the throne. Four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in back were around the throne on each side. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like an ox. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. They were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night, they never stop, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, "Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." This is the word of the Lord.
As we look around us and all that goes on in our world today, where do we look to gain a right perspective and a hopeful one alongside that? Where do you look? Who do you listen to for clarity on life? John looks into heaven in this passage through an open door and sees an occupied throne. Further, a voice speaks to him. And this voice says, "I'm going to make sense of all history." Verse 2, "Come, I will show you what must soon take place." All of history is going to be made sense of through what is said to John in the rest of this book. In the film Truman Show, you have a man walking around not realizing there is an unseen director directing his life. If you've seen the film, that's what it's about. If you haven't seen the film, well, you might as well still see it, even though I've told you what it's all about. The man doesn't realize there is an unseen director directing his life until the director opens the door and speaks to the man. And that's what we have here. When the door is open, you can see into the room, can't you? Maybe it's interesting, maybe it's not. Maybe sometimes you want to go into the room and be part of what's going on in the room. John sees into the throne room of heaven and sees God the eternal King. Now, the throne of God is the dominant image in the whole of this book. Throne is very clear in its meaning. Here is God ruling eternally in absolute power with perfect knowledge. Ruling eternally in absolute power and perfect knowledge. This is the Father that can fix everything. And if he tells any jokes, they'll be brilliant. but he can fix everything. And we need to see him, for this view is to be permanently before us. The door here is open. It's in the perfect tense, so it's always open. God always wants us to see him in the way that he is. That's important. John sees on our behalf into heaven. He writes it down for us so that we can not literally see, but significantly see that God rules. And we need that view because we live in a threatening world, don't we? We live in a threatening world personally, and we live in a threatening world in many other ways too. And may I also say, we're going to see evil in this book, and they're represented as beasts. You need to know who God is before you meet the beasts of this world, the beast who is Satan, the beast who is false teaching, the beast who is seducing us away from God. You need to know who God is. You need to see who God is. Two things this morning. I want you to notice the king on his throne, verses 1 through to 4. The king on his throne, 1 through to 4. You see the indescribable eternal king. That you can't take a photograph of God. You can't make a drawing of God. He is utterly indescribable. How would you do it in what we've just read? Well, you can't. But he is still God. He's ruling over all history. And we are to feel the security this morning if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to feel the security of the absolute sovereignty of God over our lives. Absolute sovereignty. I've been reading through Isaiah recently, and I've been coming face to face with the Almighty God. I am God and there is no other. I alone am God. I am the first and I am the last. I absolutely reign over all things in my world. I create disaster. I bring about success. I create light. I create darkness. I am God. You see, if God is not absolutely sovereign, my friends, this morning, then he is not God. Let's say it plainly this morning. He is not God. And if he doesn't rule over everything, he rules over nothing. We can't have God ruling over some things and not ruling over other things. What list are we going to make this morning that would satisfy? No. He is our God, and he rules. Wonder what your boss is like. That might not be a good thing to say on a Sunday morning. But we know what our boss is like, because he tells us. And what a boss. Five things about God this morning in this passage. He's a gem of a king, isn't he? First thing, he's a gem of a king. He is a blaze of color and light. He's just a precious, beautiful sight of infinite value. He is jasper, sparkling with clear light, yet carnelian, which is a deep blood red, I believe. Can I ask you a question? Do you love seeing God in his truth as he has revealed himself? Do you love seeing God in his truth as he has revealed himself? Will you leave this morning going, what an amazing God. The splendor of the King. How great is our God. That's how we should leave today. I will have failed if you don't. Okay? He's a gem of a king. Secondly, the sign of a king. The rainbow. But not the one we normally see when the rain has occurred, which is multicolored, isn't it? No. Here we have an emerald rainbow. There's no clean lines here. They're hazy. We know that the rainbow occurs after rain because God is saying to us there's going to be no universal flooding. The river Steeping may have flooded its banks, and it is localized, isn't it? But we're not worried. We're sad for the people, of course, but we're not worried that it's going to spread through the whole world, are we? Why not? Because God has said that he's never going to flood the world again. So what's this rainbow doing over the throne? It is saying that God, who is over the entirety of history, will be faithful to that history and to the people living on this earth, whether they recognize him or not. God is faithful whether we are faithful or not. That's the rainbow. Thirdly, the authority of the king. He alone is God, even though as a rebellious humanity, we have tried to seize the throne and be God ourselves. The authority of God is emphasized, isn't it? His 24 lesser thrones are around his throne. Here are people with real authority, power figures, if you like. It represents the church, I think. The 12 tribes in the Old Testament, there were 12 apostles in the New Testament. The entire church, if you like, are being represented by these 24 thrones. The church is a royal breed, created to exercise God's rule on the earth. Now, as redeemed and restored to reigning under God, we can do so with real significance. And yet the church is oppressed and persecuted and isolated and ignored. But we need to understand that the church is always in the sight line of God. That includes TCM, but every other true, faithful gospel church on the planet. That's good, isn't it? We're in the sight line of the King. And we have the Spirit living inside us, the sevenfold Spirit, who can resource us to engage in mission, for we are to be fiery torches on this earth, giving light to the dark world in which we live. The authority of the King. So when you go to work tomorrow, as a follower of Jesus, what right have you to represent Jesus at that in that context? Well, because you live under King Jesus, you have the authority to go anywhere in his world and represent him wherever that might be. But know this, that our power as the church only comes from God himself, not from ourselves. The authority of the King. Fourthly, the majesty of the King. That is expressed, of course, in the thunder and the lightning that's going on all around this throne. Awesome in noise. It's not a quiet place. Don't be expecting the throne of God to be a nice, quiet place where we can sit down and, you know, say, oh, I think we can rest in God and have great joy in God. I think there is peace in knowing God. But noise. So you can't manipulate this God. This God will not bow to anybody. This God will not do what we say. This God never follows me at any point in my life. The majesty of the King. Fifthly, the sea before the King is described as crystal or glistening or sparkling. Think of the sea on a sunny day when there's no wind. It glistens, doesn't it? It's all nice, flat, calm. Seems a tame beast, doesn't it? Beautiful spot to sit and look, relax. See the same sea, of course, when there's a wind howling. It's tempestuous, isn't it? Stormy. Almost frightening. There is a crystal sea before God. The sea in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is often seen as a symbol for evil. That restless, destructive evil. There is no more sea of that nature in the new creation. and the sea is now flat calm under the sovereignty of God. Because this book tells us that all evil goes and will be removed. That's good news for us, isn't it? When life is threatening and evil is around, the eternal God rules over a calm sea. The king and his throne. Secondly, the king and his court. And that's verses 6 through to 11. The angle changes now. We're looking at the king directly before this, but now we see through the eyes of others. And what a lot of eyes there are. You see those living creatures, weird, full of eyes, always looking at the king, you see. All eyes on the king. Your eyes on the king? Even as I'm preaching this morning? Eyes on the clock? Eyes on the time? Eyes on the lunch? Eyes on what I'm going to do for the rest of the day? Or eyes on the king? Four creatures orchestrating praise here to God. Angelic beings representing the whole of creation. John is building on Ezekiel chapter 1. Won't read it, but you can do it at your leisure. Because you see, all creation was created for worship of the one and only God. And we are sad as followers of Jesus when we see idolatry in our own hearts and when we see idolatry in the culture around us. We are sad. We are disturbed. Because creation was never created to worship self. We were created to worship the one and only God. The lion, the noble beast of wild animals. The ox, the strong beast of domesticated animals. The human with intelligence and a perfect reflection of God's image. The eagle with great speed and power over all birds. All creation. And as we look at this vision, we see creation as it will be forever. As it will be forever. For all creation, as I've said to you, was created to worship the living God alone. And there is ceaseless verbal praise in the heavens above us right now. And what are they singing? What do you think they're singing? Well, we know what they're singing, don't we? Yes, we do. Verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. That's what they're singing. Because God is holy. He is absolutely pure. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. So as we look through the door, what do we see? God gloriously at the center. And the entire creation joyfully declaring his praise day and night. Day and night. So what songs fill your heart in the week? What songs fill our souls during the day? What do we worship with passion in our life? What does our communal life say is gloriously at the center? How does this future sound to you this morning as I've displayed it? How does it sound to you that one day, perfect you will be, and so will I, we will join this great company of people and we will sing ceaselessly and verbally the praises of a holy God. Because, my friends, we will join this court one day by the grace of God. This is where it ends. Yes, the church truly does join in and worship, because we're told in verses 9 and 10, Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Sounds like a Christian group, doesn't it? Oh, there is a group called Casting Crowns, isn't there? But we're all to be casting our crowns. Do you catch it? The elders represent the entire church of history. The church is represented here as having the power of God, wearing crowns and sitting on thrones. Yet the church gets off the throne, takes the crown off their heads, and casts it before the king. We take the symbols of our power off and cast them before the throne of God. There's no power play from the glorified church to remove God from the center. There's no power play. The power of the church is at the disposal of the king. And worship means humble, joyful servants of the king. Because our God is worthy. O Lord and God, verse 11, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and by your will they exist. So look around. By the will of God, we all exist this morning. God decreed that you could have another day living in his world. If God had decreed today that there wasn't to be another day, there would not be another day. Do you believe this? I think you do. By your will, they exist because they were created. And there is nothing in creation that is not passed through the will of God. There is nothing in creation. In even a strange way, not even evil itself. That's a way we don't understand, I know. Everything comes through the will of God. That's what Revelation 4 is telling us. Including suffering, including what's going on in the evil world around us. We must rest here. There is no other resting place. Some questions as I finish. And maybe you want to think about. We are looking. What are we looking at today? For our security. In your daily life, I'm talking your daily life, where do you look for security? TV? Social media? Political comment? The cultural conversations all around? Peer pressure? Who makes sense of living in this world for you? Who makes sense of it for you? There's a door that is open this morning to the believers. There is a king who speaks continually through his truth. We are to look to him, and we are to listen to him. He must shape reality. Question number two, what do you think about God? I read a book recently, asked me, did I like God? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Do you like God? Do you find him gloriously attractive? Compelling to be close to? Is he worth worshipping? Well, he is holy and he is worthy. Does his absolute sovereignty give you security in a threatening world? Does it? Does it give it to me too? Do you realize that God carries us? He's not a burden we have to carry. Isn't that good news? We don't have to carry God about. God carries us about. God is doing his will, and nothing can stop him. Nothing. Thirdly, where do you think life came from, and where is it going? Do you think life is one gigantic accident that makes you a victim of impersonal forces? Therefore, life is all about you and it's all down to you. And you've got to sort it all out. You are the beginning and you are the end. Your life will be restless and relentless. But God is the beginning and the end. He created all things. And by his will, they exist, including you. Life comes from him. Life ends with him. And we can put ourselves into that great plan and find a real rest in the midst of great turmoil. In other words, my friends, when all is said and done, this king has got us. And he won't let go of us. And he will hold on to us and bring us through death and live with him forever and ever. Let us pray. Take a moment, please. Before the king, not King me, the Almighty God, the Lord God Almighty. See into heaven afresh, my dear friend. Look at the king as he has revealed himself. Listen to the king. He's over the entire history of this world. He's over your history. Relax. Feel the security. River of peace cascading over your soul. I read this morning that we could have no peace, and that's true. But here we are. We can know afresh that peace deep in our souls. How great is our God. And as we finish, I want to just read some words from Isaiah 46, and then we'll sing. Listen to me, house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been sustained from the womb and carried along since birth. I will be the same until your old age, and I will bear you up when you turn gray. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will bear and rescue you. Who will you compare me to? Or make me equal to? Who will you measure me with so that we should be like each other? Remember this and be brave. Take it to heart, you transgressors. Remember what has happened long ago. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what was not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my things.